all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Good day. I'm Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today here on Veterans Radio, and thanks for joining us. We've got some interesting stories for you. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or at the web, veteransradio.org, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.org. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, PuroClean. PuroClean is the paramedics of property damage. It provides water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, biohazard cleanup. It also has a focus on veteran franchisees. You can learn more about them by going to puroclean.com. The story we're going to bring you today reaches all the way back to the Civil War. It's the escape from the Confederate prison known as Libby Prison. An incredible story. The story is actually brought to us by an affiliate, homeofheroes.com, which tells the stories of American heroes, Medal of Honor winners, Silver Stars. So if you go to homeofheroes.com, click on Heroes Stories. For this one, go down to the Civil War. There's stories from every conflict. And when you scroll through that, you'll find the escaping from Libby Prison. It's an amazing story of resilience, determination, some good luck, some bad luck. I think you'll find it interesting. And honestly, the interview here doesn't do the written word justice. Oftentimes, like, movies aren't as good as the book. So go ahead and go to homeofheroes.com, click on Hero Stories, go down to the Civil War, and read about escaping from Libby Prison. It's a short story, and I think you'll find it very interesting.
All right, get ready, because today we're going deep into one of the most unbelievable prison breaks in American history. We're talking about the mass escape from Libby Prison during the Civil War.
It's really incredible when you consider this all happened at Libby Prison. It was originally just a tobacco warehouse, you know?
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, in Richmond, Virginia. And then they converted it to hold Union officers during the war.
A tobacco warehouse turned prison. Oh, man. That's something else. I can only imagine the smell.
And it wasn't like, you know, a couple guys sneaking out. We're talking about a huge escape. Over 100 prisoners who dug their way out.
Wow. That's wild.
It's a story of resilience for sure and just sheer determination.
So paint a picture for us. What were the conditions actually like in Libby Prison? What made these men so desperate to escape?
Well, Libby Prison was notoriously overcrowded. There was basically no sanitation. Food and medical care were scarce. Disease was everywhere.
So it was essentially a fight for survival every day.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to remember the Geneva Convention. Well, that wasn't established until after the Civil War. So the treatment of prisoners of war, it was pretty much up to whoever captured them.
So they were really at the mercy of their captors.
Right, exactly. And then on top of all that, the South was facing increasing isolation because of the Union blockades.
Right.
Resources were already stretched thin. Just taking care of their own population was tough. So you can imagine what that meant for the prisoners of war.
I bet. And I also read that there were rumors going around that the Confederates were considering moving the prisoners further south.
That's right. Some even said they might get sent to Andersonville.
And Andersonville, just for our listeners who maybe haven't heard of it, it was another Confederate prison, but with a seriously bad reputation.
Oh, yeah. Andersonville was notorious, the conditions there. They were known to be even worse than Libby.
Hmm.
So yeah, I can imagine that rumor definitely added to the urgency of any escape plans.
Oh, for sure. So in the middle of all this, you know, this chaos and fear, you have Colonel Thomas Rose.
Yeah, he's fascinating. He was a lawyer and a teacher before the war. Not exactly who you picture as a daring escape artist, right?
No, not at all.
But once he was in Libby, he became totally fixated on the idea of escaping. He was just incredibly observant. You know, he noticed things that other people missed. For example, he saw how close the prison was to the James River.
Uh-huh.
And he figured there had to be a sewer system running underneath.
So he saw opportunity where others just saw confinement. I like that.
Yeah. But obviously, planning and executing a mass escape from a Confederate prison, you need more than just observation, right?
Right. You need a team.
Exactly. He knew he couldn't do it alone. That's where Major Alexander Hamilton comes in. Hamilton was a West Point grad and a seasoned soldier. He had that tactical experience that Rose needed, you know, to actually turn the escape plan into reality.
So Rose is the brains and Hamilton is the brawn.
Yeah, you could say that. Rose was more the mastermind, the strategist.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamilton brought, you know, the military knowledge and the leadership skills they needed to pull it off.
Wow, what a team. Okay, so tell us about the plan. Did they just, like, pick a spot and start digging?
Well, you'd think it would be that simple, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that easy. They didn't just dig one tunnel. They dug four. And the first three, well, let's just say they were learning experiences.
Wait, four tunnels? Seriously?
Yeah.
What happened with the first three?
So, believe it or not, the first tunnel they dug, it was actually successful.
What?
Yeah, they made it to the other side.
Oh, no.
But they didn't quite do their calculations right. They emerged right into a heavily guarded area.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, talk about a close call.
I can only imagine the disappointment. All that work, and they end up right back where they started, almost in the arms of the guards.
Yeah. But they didn't give up. The second attempt was foiled when some Confederate guards got suspicious and started poking around. And their third tunnel, well, it flooded.
Oh, no.
They had to abandon it before they all drowned.
Wow. So many setbacks. It's amazing they didn't just give up hope.
They were determined. You know, each failed attempt, they learned something new. Their techniques got more refined. They were more careful in their planning.
They had to be. The stakes were so high.
Absolutely. So what was different about the fourth tunnel? Well, for one thing, they chose a new location. They started digging behind the kitchen fireplace.
Interesting. Why there?
Well, they figured the smoke and the soot would mask any suspicious smells.
That's actually pretty smart.
Right. But they were still digging in the dark. Literally. No maps, no surveying equipment.
So how did they even know where they were going?
You know, that's where their ingenuity really shines. It was all instinct, careful observation, and a lot of trial and error.
I bet the conditions down in those tunnels must have been just terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Pitch black, cramped, the air was thick with dust and, you know, the smell of decay. They were constantly worried about cave-ins, running out of oxygen, and, of course, being discovered by the guards.
And I imagine there were rats.
Oh, yeah, the rats. Can you imagine? Surrounded by rats in a dark, cramped tunnel.
I'd rather not. It's like a nightmare.
Total nightmare. And on top of that, they had to get rid of all the dirt from the tunnel without anyone noticing.
That's a good point. Where did they put all the dirt?
Well, they had to get creative. They'd sprinkle it under the floorboards. They'd mix it in with their bedding, even smuggle it out in their pockets.
Wow.
I bet the guards were wondering why everyone was sleeping so soundly all of a sudden, huh?
Right. Okay, but here's what gets me. I read they used this rope system for communication while they were digging.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible. Rose and Hamilton, they would tug on the rope to signal to each other.
Okay.
Like a, you know, like a primitive telegraph.
That's so cool. Okay, so after weeks of this back-breaking work, the fourth tunnel, it finally reaches the destination. What happened on the night of the escape?
So it's the night of February 9th, 1864. Cold, dark night, the perfect cover.
It must have been so intense.
Mm.
After all those setbacks, they were finally about to make their move.
Oh, yeah. The tension, the nerves, this was it, their one shot. They organized themselves into groups of 15. Each group had a specific time to enter the tunnel.
So they weren't all rushing out at once.
Exactly. They had to be quiet. Any noise could alert the guards. Crawling through that narrow, damp tunnel, it must have felt like forever.
And the fear. Every little sound must have been terrifying. What if they were discovered at the last minute?
Oh, the psychological pressure must have been immense. But they kept going, driven by, you know, that hope at the end of the tunnel, both literally and figuratively.
Right.
It took hours to get everyone through.
How long are we talking?
5 hours. Just imagine crawling through a tunnel for 5 hours.
It's hard to even imagine. And don't forget, these men were already weakened by their time in Libby. They hadn't been eating properly. They were exhausted.
Yeah, and so many were sick, too. It really is a testament to their endurance, both mental and physical.
Absolutely. So they emerge from the tunnel after those grueling 5 hours. What happens next? Where do they go? How do they avoid the Confederate guards?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting, and that's a story for part two of our deep dive.
Well, I can't wait.
So picture this. 109 Union soldiers. After 5 hours crawling through a tunnel, they finally emerge.
Into the fresh air.
Yeah, blinking in the moonlight. It must have been such a surreal experience, you know?
Oh, going from that darkness into the open night sky, it's like total sensory overload.
But, you know, it wasn't exactly a moment for celebration.
Right. I mean, they were still surrounded by Confederate soldiers.
Exactly. They were still in enemy territory. Their plan was to scatter quickly.
Hoping to just blend in with the darkness until they could reach Union lines.
Yeah. And when you think about it, it was a pretty risky plan.
Oh, yeah. These weren't, you know, trained spies or anything.
No, they were soldiers who'd been held captive, weakened. Many of them were probably disoriented after that tunnel experience.
So they were really relying on their instincts and a lot of luck?
Pretty much. It was a gamble, but they didn't have many options. So how do they do? Well, out of those 109 escapees, 59 actually made it back to Union lines.
Wow, that's incredible.
It really is. Considering everything they went through, it's a testament to how resilient these guys were.
Yeah, talk about determination.
But of course, there were tragedies, too. Many of them were recaptured.
Oh, yeah, but...
And some faced pretty harsh punishments for escaping.
I can't imagine how crushing it must have been to be so close to freedom, only to be dragged back to that prison.
It's a reminder that even in a moment of triumph, there's always, you know, that shadow of loss.
Definitely. So there's one person we haven't mentioned yet who actually played a crucial role in this escape, Elizabeth Van Loo.
Oh, yes, Elizabeth Van Loo. She's like an unsung hero of the Civil War.
Tell us about her.
So she was a Richmond socialite, but she was secretly spying for the Union.
Wow, like a real-life spy.
Right, operating right under the noses of the Confederacy. And she was actually instrumental in helping some of those escapees.
How so?
She provided them with food, shelter, you know, helped them navigate the unfamiliar territory.
It's amazing she was willing to take those risks.
Yeah. If she'd been caught, she could have been imprisoned, maybe even executed.
She was incredibly brave. I think her story deserves its own deep dive.
I agree. But for now, let's get back to the escapees. What happened to the ones who did make it back to Union lines?
Yeah. What was the impact of their escape?
Well, it was a huge morale boost for the Union. A real victory, even if it was symbolic. It showed that even in captivity, their soldiers were still fighting for their cause.
I bet it was a blow to the Confederacy, wow. Too.
Oh, yeah. It showed how vulnerable their prison system was. And, of course, they had to divert resources to try and recapture everyone.
Yeah, and it must have been embarrassing to have so many prisoners escape from right under their noses.
Totally. But the escape from Libby Prison had a wider impact, too. It wasn't just a military thing. It really affected how people viewed the war.
In what way?
Well, you know, the story of the escape made headlines all over the country, and it really brought the issue of prisoners of war to everyone's attention.
So it wasn't just a concern for the North anymore?
Right. Everyone was talking about it, and it forced people on both sides, you know, North and South, to acknowledge how badly those prisoners were being treated. It really sparked a national debate about, you know, what was ethical in war? How should prisoners be treated? Some people even say that the escape from Libby Prison played a part in, you know, the eventual development of the Geneva Conventions.
And the Geneva Conventions, just to remind our listeners, they established those international standards for how prisoners of war should be treated.
Right. And those standards are still used today. It's a pretty significant legacy.
Absolutely. So the Libby prison escape, it wasn't just this daring feat. It was a real turning point in how we think about prisoners of war.
Yeah. It shows how human ingenuity and compassion can, you know, prevail even in the darkest of times.
Oh.
But it also raises some important questions about war itself.
Like what kind of questions?
Well, how could a country that prides itself on, you know, liberty and justice, how could they allow such awful conditions in their prisons?
It's a good point. Even when you're fighting for a good cause, the reality can be pretty ugly.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if something like the Libby escape could even happen today.
That is a good question. With all the technology and security we have now, could a group of prisoners pull off something like that?
That's a question we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
So, We've talked about how clever and strong these prisoners were, the terrible things they had to deal with, and the way their escape changed not only the war, but how we see prisoners of war even today. But you left us with a big question. Could an escape like this even happen today, with all our fancy prisons and technology watching everything?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, Colonel Rose and Major Hamilton, they couldn't have imagined the kind of security we have now. Motion sensors and cameras everywhere, electronic locks, facial recognition software. Escaping from a prison today seems impossible.
But then again, people are pretty smart. We find ways, don't we? I mean, look at all the hacking we hear about. Systems they thought were unbreakable, and someone finds a way in.
Yeah, that's true. And think about it. Those Libby prisoners, they didn't have fancy tools either. They used whatever they could find. It's hard to completely rule out human ingenuity, even with all the technology we have now.
And there's always the human element too, right? Like guards who aren't paying attention, mm-hmm. or a computer glitch that creates a weak spot, or even, you know, maybe someone on the inside helping to plan the escape. Those things happened back then, and I bet they still happen today.
Oh, absolutely. No system is perfect. And whenever you have people involved, there's always room for mistakes or, you know, someone bending the rules or just plain bad luck.
So maybe the question isn't, could it happen? But how would it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Would someone use technology to break out? Or maybe trick people instead of computers?
That's interesting. Maybe a modern escape wouldn't need shovels and tunnels. Maybe it would be all about code or social media or even just like figuring out how to manipulate people.
So instead of breaking out with brute force, it'd be more like, you know, one of those heist movies with all the clever plans and distractions.
Yeah, exactly. The tools might change, but it's still about observation, planning, execution, all the things those prisoners did.
And I guess the biggest thing of all, that desire to be free. That never goes away, no matter what kind of technology you have.
You're so right. What drove those Libby prisoners was that belief that they deserve to be free. And they were willing to risk everything to suffer, just for a chance at that freedom. It's that kind of determination, that drive that can overcome anything, even the tightest security.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this incredible story, I want to leave our listeners with one thought. The Libby prison escape isn't just history. It shows us what humans are capable of. Courage, creativity, never giving up. It reminds us that even when things are really bad, there's always hope. And freedom might be closer than we think if we're willing to fight for it.
That's a great way to put it. And maybe it also makes us ask ourselves, what would we do if we faced a huge obstacle? Would we be as strong and clever as those prisoners? It's something to think about, not just about escaping prisons, but about how we face challenges in our own lives.
Thanks for joining us on this journey, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop digging for knowledge.
These stories of prisoners of war, doesn't matter what war, and the desire or will to escape, to get back to freedom, to get back to their families, really is quite inspirational, and I think it's something we all kind of understand and wonder whether or not would we have it in us if we were in that situation. So there's something to be gained from learning about these efforts, even if we have to reach all the way back to the Civil War. Hope you enjoyed it. I know you didn't learn it in history class, so you get to at least learn it here on Veterans Radio.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows
by visiting us at veteransradio.org. That's veteransradio.org. We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm with a national practice before the VA, can help you on your claims and your appeals. It can be reached at legalhelpforveterans.com or 1-800-693-4800. And PuroClean, a leader in property emergency services. It's the paramedics of property damage, providing water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold and biohazard cleanups. You can reach them at puroclean.com or 800-775-7876. We also want to thank our local sponsors. This would include the Charles S. Kettles chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America. That's chapter 310. VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423, the American Legion Irwin Preskin Post 46 in Ann Arbor as well, the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and certainly the National Vietnam Veterans of America Association. You can be a sponsor by going to veteransradio.org, clicking on the About Us and our sponsors, and help us out. Keep this program alive for the 21 and 22 years. Keep us going for another 20. Thank you.